This is episode 90 with Evo Terra and Sheila D.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxon.
Welcome, everybody. Today I have with me Evo Terra and Sheila D, and these wonderful individuals are digital nomads and also lifestyle entrepreneurs. Evo and Sheila left the default lifestyle behind to adopt a digital nomad lifestyle and literally travel the world, experiencing places less traveled, meeting people, and having adventures. They call their style of roaming the world opportunistic traveling, and it's not for everyone, but it's definitely for them. So welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So why don't you both give me a background about why both of you started this? I know you said it was in January 2015 you guys decided to leave that quote-unquote default lifestyle, but what led to that?
Sure. We could talk about this forever, and I want to try and keep it short and sweet to lead into more of the fun stuff. But basically, 2014 kind of sucked. There were a lot of things that were just not going great. We'd lost some very close friends way too young to some terrible diseases and accidents. We had had some kind of change up in our working situations, you know, that happens from time to time. And we were at the point, the last thing was we received a medical diagnosis for Sheila over here from a doctor who told us that under no uncertain terms, we could no longer live in Phoenix, Arizona, where we had made our home for the last 18 years. That dry desert climate is not what her body needs, and in fact, it actively fights her when she does that one. So we started looking around for places to move that had a high humid climate, and after about a week's worth of looking, we realized, well, wait a minute. Why don't we take this opportunity to go and do something radically different? Rather than move to San Diego and get jobs, rather than move to Austin, Texas and get jobs, which we both were getting plenty of offers on the table when we called those places, we decided to say no to that and take a bit of a sabbatical, and that's what we're in the middle of right now, our sabbatical of 2015.
And how's that been? How's that been so far?
Awesome.
Well, Sheila, I can't imagine what it's like when a doctor tells you that, you know, the place you've lived all your life is not conducive to your health. And then when Evo and you decided to move, what was the first thought that came to your mind?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to take into consideration because you've got things. You've got, you know, you've got the KitchenAid mixer, and you've got cars, and you've got clothing, and you've got all of this stuff, and then you also have the family and the friends, and how do you, you know, what about medical insurance? And there's all these questions that you really have to work through. You know, what happens if a family member passes away? What are you going to do while you're gone? Those kind of things. So you have to work through all of that kind of stuff before you can make the final decision of, yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Gotcha. I hope everything's good now, and I want to make sure that, you know, my condolences and everything are well with all the family you lost. I know you said it was a tough year. So
Yeah, it definitely was. But you're right. It's been better, you know, in 4.5 months, gosh, almost 5 months now, because we left on January 16th. We spent the first part of that mostly in Europe. Well, actually, all of them in Europe. And then we just recently arrived in Ranong, Thailand, where we'll spend the next 3 months and hopefully finish out the rest of the year down here in the Southeast Asia, probably the Australia area.
Huh. So wait, in Europe, you literally went to every country in Europe?
No. Couldn't do that.
You couldn't do that. I was like, wow, that's pretty good for 3 months. But okay, so Europe.
Six countries.
All right. What's been your favorite country so far, both of you?
I'm pretty sure Spain is the answer to that question.
Spain was pretty awesome. Denmark was up there too, but it's really cold there. But the people in both places were super nice.
Okay.
And I'm kind of digging Thailand right now, but I'm still really new to it.
Yeah, we've been here for 4 days. I'm not sure we can make a qualified decision.
No, I don't think you can. I have been to Thailand, but I've been there for only about as much as you just been there, not now. So I was visiting, and it wasn't quite. It was amazing, but I don't know what it would be like to live there. So, you know, because visiting and living is quite different. So, but when we visited, one of my favorite places to visit. So. For sure. Okay, so now I want to talk more about your lifestyle. Since you guys decided to really travel the world in Rome, how do you make money and how have you built a client base?
Great question. So when we first left, our intention was to truly treat this as a sabbatical. We had, by selling off everything, we had a nest egg that we could use for our travel fund. And it was enough to get us by for a year. Now, that's not staying in five-star resorts, any of that kind of stuff. We're definitely we're traveling on the cheap. We're using house sitting to really knock our costs down big time. The entire 3 months we're in Thailand, we're not going to spend a dime on housing because we're house sitting for a couple. So, for our original intention was to not do any work. That lasted about 0 minutes. As soon as I told the partners in the business that I had started about a year before that, we were a startup that was helping new startups get moving and running, business consulting mostly. When I told my partners that we were having to move and we were going to take this crazy journey around the world, rather than run me out of the room, they said, "Let's see if we can find a way to keep you on the payroll." So that was sweet. It was very nice of them. That wasn't the same payroll, clearly. It was a reduced amount. So, but that happened immediately. And then a few other clients that I had been working with periodically, once they found out that I was a free agent, said, "We'd like for you to work on a couple of small projects for us." So that's kind of one of the bonuses we had for the first 4 months. Now, those things are kind of coming to an end, a natural end. And so what we're doing now is we're looking for how do we make money doing the stuff that we're doing today. Because that money was stuff that I've done previously. That's it. That's easy to do. But I wanted to look and see, after 4 or 5 months of travel, is there a way that we can actually sustain this lifestyle of traveling around the world in different ways of doing it?
And we're actually speaking with, I think it's 4 or 5 different companies about partnerships and different ways to do things benefiting both of us.
Yeah, so we're having some real good luck. We're in initial conversations. We haven't got anything going yet, but it's all very positive. And if we do it right, and I think we will, we'll be able to sustain this lifestyle indefinitely. Again, largely because we live on the cheap. But now we're talking about producing and writing lifestyle-based travel content in a completely different way than most people are used to. Not your standard ratings and reviews, that's all over the place, or the top 10 things you must do in Renang, Thailand. Those are kind of going away, and there's a new style of storytelling that's developed, and that's what we're trying to try and focus on right now. And as Sheila said, we've had some real positive early conversations with companies. So hopefully before our runway runs out, because we are treating this like a startup, before our runway runs out, we figure a way to make the revenue stream look good for 2016.
Well, that's amazing, because one of the things that I focus on, pretty much a lot of things I focus on, is storytelling. And when you're saying it's a new way of telling stories, and it's way beyond reviews and a typical, top 10 places to eat or in that type of ways, it naturally piques my attention. So this new form of storytelling, can you elaborate on it more and then maybe talk about, I have a feeling you're doing something with audio as well. Maybe you could talk about that. You could talk about that as well.
Audio definitely factors heavily into most things I do. I mean, I'm one of the original podcasters from back in 2004. And so when we went on this journey, we decided to release a podcast, just more to keep our friends and family updated of what's going on. Mm-hmm. But we immediately took an opportunity to not do the normal style of podcast. And by normal style of podcast, I mean interview shows like this one, no offense intended, or it means the two dorks and a microphone, which is pretty prevalent out there as well. We just kind of talk about your day and what happened. Instead, we decided to take the approach that Gimlet Media and Radiotopia and the new wave of podcast shows are actually producing now, which is highly intensive. It's not, hey, let's sit down and record quick and easy. It's, let's go gather audio snippets and stories over the course of time, and then let's spend hours, and I mean hours, editing a show together and put out a 10 to 15 minute episode each week that's an actual true story, as opposed to just, you know, easy content. It's work, but it seems to be being received quite well.
The 8 to 10 minute show that is produced each week, Evo does all of the background work for it, but it takes him anywhere from 8 to 10 hours to produce that 10-minute show.
Absolutely. No, it's like, I'm sure both of you are familiar with Serial, right?
Exactly right.
Yep, and that's definitely a new wave. And there was definitely no offense taken. I think it's an actual, it's like you guys are actually catching on to the best movement right now. And that's a way to, it's almost like a television, right? You have your seasons, fall season, and you normally for comedies or any of this is 30 minutes or 45 minutes, but the production behind each, it goes way beyond what anyone would think, right? It's hours and hours and hours of work. So
it really does. And, you know, from my point of view, but again, watching podcasting for the last literally 10 years, or I guess almost 11 years now, the podcasting hasn't really grown. The listening audience hasn't really significantly grown since around 2007 or 2008. Then there's kind of a dip. But this new wave, thanks to Serial, largely in part, and Gimlet Media and a few other ones, they're introducing people who don't really care about podcasting as much as they want to just get some good quality. And so they crunch through the 12 episodes, whatever they were, of Serial, and they're looking around saying, what's next? What else can I get? And that's what we're trying to now feed, is this new wave of people, so maybe we can get podcast listeners above the 20% mark into much, much more mainstream by getting people content that they can really enjoy.
Awesome. And now, Sheila, do both of you act this out, or do you have a script beforehand, or do you know what the stories are going to be in each episode?
So E actually takes care of writing the script for us. He listens to all of the content that we've acquired over the week, and then he goes back and he writes a script up for it. And then he and I go and record between the two of us our lines, per se, or our segments, and then he puts it all together from there.
Awesome, awesome. Where can we find the show? What's the name of the show, and what's the name of the slug?
It's the opportunistictravelers.com. Search for it on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcast, or just go to the opportunistictravelers.com. It's all right there.
The opportunistictravelers.com. No, I'll definitely check it out. This is something that I've, I was talking about it with some of my business partners. We were trying to get into the best way to tell a story with podcasts, because we like you think that Serial is what Serial opened up, and you know, it's just a big thing, and it's also a new way to listen to something. So it's definitely good. All right, now balance. I'm very curious. Whenever I talk to digital nomads, I have a lot of guests on the show who are digital nomads, and I'm always curious about what the balance is in terms of work-life balance, one, and then the family that they left back at home. You alluded to it earlier, talking about, you know, how do you deal with when certain things happen in family, how do you go back and stuff like that. So I'm just curious to know what both of you have done to make that easier for yourselves.
So both of us are very connected digitally, obviously, and so we're constantly contacting family. We Skype with our son at least once a week. I text with him throughout the week. I'm sure you do too.
Sure.
Evo, are you doing it?
You know, we're always in contact with our family, and so that's, we have had one situation where we've had a family member pass away while we've been out on the road, and it's hard, but we've made the decision before we even left that if something happened, we wouldn't go back. So it was the two of us dealing with it together and that kind of thing, and sorry. Just making sure that we're there for each other, I think, is the key, and also staying connected with family.
But that's the great thing about the internet, right? I mean, we're all connected right now. It's very easy to stay in touch with people. And, you know, it's interesting being sometimes 10, like right now we're 12 hours off from most of our friends. So we can get some things done in the morning while they're also working. And it's interesting to keep up on the social feeds. But you asked about work-life balance, you know, work-life-play balance for us. We're really good at balancing that stuff out when we're in a location for a long time doing the slow travel that we like to do. What we have found is we really suck at it when we're 3 days in one place and then 4 days in another and then three somewhere else. We just can't get any work done. We're just not. It takes us a little time to kind of hit our groove and hit our speed. So we've had to say no to a couple of projects where they wanted to bounce us around from spot to spot because we're looking now more for the kind of work we need to do requires us to be in a location for 3 weeks before we can really start getting out the kind of content that they're going to be hungry for.
Well, our content is because it's highly produced, it takes longer to do. So it's not like I can sit down and, you know, we can write something up and just be done. Yeah. It's a long sit-down process to actually come up with the final product.
Hmm. No, that's good. And it sounds like you're making intentional decisions about what you want to do and the type of lifestyle you want to have. And that's something that a lot of nomads have to learn, right, when it comes mm-hmm. to making the right choices. Because sometimes it could be money, but then does it give you the lifestyle you want? And then, you know, a lot of people got into the lifestyle because they wanted to be able to live the life that they wanted and not to be tied down to something that would dictate how they live. So it sounds like
you're right. You know, people chase opportunities. You know, somebody waves $5 in your face and you look at your bank account dwindling every month, and it's hard to say no to that.
Right.
Which is why we decided early on that we've got enough money to make it for a year. And if all else fails, we have to go back somewhere and get jobs somewhere. We don't exactly know where, but that's fine. If that's the worst thing that happens, that's the worst thing that happens. Hopefully, it'll keep us, rather than being focused on revenue, focused on finding opportunities that work for us and not having to say no because we picked a bunch of things that, you know, are time wasters that don't really pay like we need to.
Gotcha. Now, and I've got a couple questions here. So, obviously, Europe, Southeast Asia now. What is one way both of you connect with people? Because when people travel, it's a difference of visiting, like I was saying earlier, and living there. And when you entrench yourself in society, you see the different culture and norms and the different ways of communicating, really. So I'm curious as to what both of you have adapted, or that is probably too strong a word, what both of you have done to be able to you know, interact with the locals and make yourself feel at home.
Sure. Well, so luckily, we're both fluent in like 18 languages.
What?
I'm kidding. We're good Americans, which means we speak one language.
We do speak good beer.
Yeah, exactly. And she's not far off from that. We're not going to have that great fun in Thailand, but some of the best connections we have made as we've been out on the road have been over beer. We're both craft beer fans, so you skip the Budweiser, please. Let's have something actually that has some flavor and taste to it. And so when you find other people who are craft beer connoisseurs the world over, it kind of doesn't matter what language you speak. You can point and click, and we can use Google Translate and other sorts of tools like that to have the base conversations and have started real friendships over beer. Believe it or not, it's been really great for us. Now, unfortunately, we're in Thailand, and there's not any good beer here, but we'll have to find another way to do it.
Ah, gotcha. So you found, why I say is, I always say people should find the connectors. And for me, it's sports, pop culture, or geography. Those are just backgrounds that I've grown up with, and, you know, having to live in different countries, those are the ways I connected. And it sounds like beer is your connector. And that's pretty good.
We're also really good. You know, we have this look on our faces as we walk around these places.
Is it the lost look?
It's not the lost. That sometimes. But, you know, a smile will get you so many places. if you just look like a friendly person, we have been amazed at, even when we have had the lost look on our face, but there's just something about our lifestyle of travel that we're open to any opportunities that come forth, that people have helped us as we're stuck in a tube station, you know, and they're very friendly. In places that you don't normally expect people to be real friendly, we haven't had much of a problem, even when we don't speak a lick of the language. It's been great.
We've even had people take us in their cars from one place to another, not knowing who we are or anything.
Oh yeah, that happens a lot. That's pretty common. Hey, we're going to do a party over here. Do you want to go? Sure. Yeah. Why not? Oh. Let's go.
Hey, all right. All right. Hey. You know. Hey. as long as it's. I hope it's a fun party. I hope it's not one of those, you know, parties you go to and it's like, why did I get into the car?
Yeah.
So. Sorry, what?
So far, we've not had that.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Now, this last question here before we finally wrap it up. But my mission statement and what the mission statement of UID Media is use your difference to make a difference. So, Sheila, I'll start with you. I'm curious to know how both of you use your difference to make a difference.
I'm going to defer to you right now so I can hear what you have to say.
Okay. All right. I'll start, and then she can come up and do it from there. So for me, the different thing that I bring to it is probably perspective. You know, I'm not very good at doing actual work, but I'm very good at looking at things and finding a different perspective and challenging assumptions and opinions and making sure that the right decisions are being made. So for me, that means I'm kind of always looking at things, not necessarily taking them at face value, and being able to change them up and do new things and find new opportunities as they come by. I'm your prototypical jack of all trades. I've worked in the digital strategy business. That's really, if you had to pick one thing that I've done for the last 20 years, that's been it. It's been digital strategy on a lot of different levels of that one. And that gives me puts my fingers in lots of different pies. And while I'm by no means a programmer, seriously, not even a little bit like a programmer, I at least speak the geek code and I can break apart things. I'm a pretty good systems thinker. So for me, it just makes the opportunity to find things better. Layer that in with my experience in working with audio for a number of years and the ability to tell a good story and make decent presentations. I make pretty entertaining content for people actually to watch and read. Now, it's your turn, honey.
It's my turn. I'm a trained academic, so I was a professor for years. And I think my contribution and difference is that I try to make people think about what they're doing and things like that. And I'm also a photographer. So whereas I'm off looking at different things, E points me in different directions because I've got my head tunneled into a different
one scene, right?
He's so. Also making sure I don't trip and fall.
It sounds like you have a good man right beside you. So.
I do.
I'm a really good photographer's assistant too.
You are. You're a great Sherpa.
Okay, so academic and a jack of all trades, but actually someone that uses stories to tell stories in an engaging and unique way in order to connect to people. Sounds like that's what both of you do.
That's us.
Hey, all right. Well, before we head out, and I know you said you gave us information about where we can find out about your show. Is there any other thing that you would like to leave other aspiring digital nomads with, or any other person for sure?
So I'll give you a bit of advice to share out to the listening audience. You know, taking the digital nomad lifestyle is not for everyone, and it's not easy. However, it's a lot easier than you think. It takes a whole lot less money than you think, and in my opinion, it is way more rewarding than following up some sort of ladder system that's been placed in front of you. Just if you have the itch to take the digital nomad lifestyle, do it. As long as you've got a marketable skill, the worst thing that happens if you are no good at being a digital nomad, the worst thing that's going to happen to you is you will go back and get a job. You will not wind up living in a van down by the river, I promise.
Okay. Well, hey, if you have the itch, take it. At worst, you get a job. Doesn't sound like a bad option to me. So thank you so much. Thank you both for taking the time to hop on the show with me. And once again, they are calling from Thailand, and it's basically midnight there, and they're having, you know, they had the grace to actually stay up late. So I appreciate what both of you have done, and I hope to talk to you soon and follow up on what you're doing with the Opportunistic Podcast.
Thanks, Travis. I appreciate it very much.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.